Blog Talk Radio.
Healing rain is coming down. It's coming nearer to this old town. Rich and poor, weak and strong, it's bringing mercy, it won't be long. Healing rain is coming down, it's coming closer to the lost and found. Tears of joy and tears of shame are washed forever in Jesus' name. The healing rain, it comes with fire, so let it fall and take us higher.
Good morning, and welcome to a very special live audiobook reading of my newest publication, The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran, by Randy Noble. Why the name The Cross in the Desert? I love to paint with words. I want the reader to feel and taste what I write. I want to draw my readers into another world where they can explore and imagine with all of their senses. The image of a hot, dry, treacherous desert with sweltering, unbearable heat is the perfect way for me to introduce the cool and refreshing rivers of living waters for the desperate traveler who is dying of thirst. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. In this parched and weary land where there is no water. Psalm 63, verse 1. The imagery of this psalm introduces the weary traveler who is longing for the presence of God. The traveler is desperately searching, zealously desiring to reconnect. He realizes that his life is empty without the presence of God. The traveler is suffering from despair and crying out with his whole being for relief. All of us can relate to this desperate condition. I chose the name for my blogs and my radio program to paint a picture, to entice and draw the readers out of their mundane existence and give them a longing for finding their purpose and fulfillment in life. Sometimes our life seems meaningless and empty and without purpose. We feel like we're trapped under the scorching heat of a desert, thirsting and longing for a new beginning. In the midst of our desperation, the God of the Bible reaches down and offers us relief and refreshment. He pours out his irresistible love and rejuvenates our souls. He takes us from the barren, scorching heat of the dry and treacherous desert and rejuvenates us with streams of living water. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 35. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, quote, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Jesus. John chapter 7, verse 38. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. Jesus promises to quench our spiritual thirst. He offers us himself in all of his splendor, glory, love, and compassion. Our longings are satisfied by his irresistible love. When we plunge into the rivers of his love, we are healed, we are forgiven, and all of our guilt and shame is washed away forever. Jesus truly is the cross in the desert, a reservoir of living hope. Preface. Be a voice for our freedom. I will never forget these words or the expression on Maral's face when she said them to me. Quote, be a voice for our freedom. It was late at night, and I had just returned home from work at the hospital. Even though I was exhausted, I couldn't wait to get on Skype and have a video chat with Maral, my dear Iranian friend who lives in Shiraz. Having video chats with my Iranian friends is the joy of my life. I want to know how they're doing, how they feel, and spend quality time with them before I go to bed. It is my custom to meet with them and help them improve their English. Meeting on Skype is an ideal way to be their English teacher. By hearing and seeing them, I can assist them in correctly pronouncing words. I am truly honored to hear them read my books live on Skype. Whenever a new book is published, I immediately send them the PDF file. It is the thrill of my life to hear my Iranian friends read the stories I have written about their struggles for freedom. When I met with Maral that night, I asked her to share her heart with me about what life was like in Iran. For the next 30 minutes, she did just that. And when I finished our interview, I asked Maral what message she had for the customers at my upcoming book signing. Without hesitation, she gazed intently into my eyes and said with a pleading voice, tell them to be a voice for our freedom. I could see the desperation and sadness in her eyes, and at that moment, I was determined more than ever to be a voice for Maral and all of my dear Iranian friends. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless, and see that they get justice. New Living Translation, Proverbs 31, verses 8 through 9. For more than 3 years, I have been writing personal blogs about my Iranian friends. I have written 3 books that focus in on their struggles for freedom. However, this is not just another lengthy novel. It is an intimate and personal collection of the dreams, hopes, fears, and struggles of the most important people in the world to me. My friends in Iran are the passion and focus of my life. I don't write books to be famous and wealthy. Rather, I write books to put my Iranian friends on display. I want to share their stories with the whole world. I want the world to know them in the most personal way possible. In this book, you will meet them. You will laugh with them, cry with them, and hopefully you will take a few minutes and pray for them. God has given me a unique privilege to be their voice. One day, I hope to meet them face to face. Until that day, I cry out to God for them in prayer. There is one particular psalm that I regularly use in my prayer time for my friends. It is a beautiful promise of deliverance. As you read and hear their stories, please reflect back on the words of this wonderful psalm and remember them in your prayers. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. Dedications. This book is dedicated to the beautiful soul of Rahana Jabari, a 26-year-old suffering martyr who was unjustly executed on October 25, 2014, in Tehran for the crime of self-defense. Rahana was the victim of an unjust and cruel government who punishes and executes women for defending themselves against rape attacks. For over 7 years in prison, Rahana endured torture and endless hours of interrogation at the hands of barbaric men. Yes, during those terrible years of pain, humiliation, and suffering, Rahana wrote more than 10 prison letters defending herself. In the first letter, Rahana writes, "Perhaps someone in this world will hear my cries and feel my pain. I have heard your cries, dear Rahana, and I have felt the burden of your intense pain. I will never forget your suffering, and I will tell the world the truth about your unjust and cruel execution." Just 10 days before her 27th birthday, Rahana stepped into the arms of a loving God. The cruel Iranian regime can no longer touch or hurt her. She is finally free. Be our voice for freedom. Always eyes watching you, and the voice enveloping you, asleep or awake, indoors or outdoors, in the bed or the bath, no escape. Nothing was your own except the few cubic centimeters in your skull. George Orwell, 1984. Can you imagine living in a society where your every move and thought was monitored by the government? George Orwell's frightening novel, 1984, describes a society under the oppressive control of a government that prohibits free thought, sex, and any expression of individuality. They have even invented a language called newspeak, which attempts to prevent political rebellion by eliminating any words relating to it. Even thinking rebellious thoughts is a crime, and citizens are constantly reminded that, quote, "Big Brother is watching you." The description of this kind of society is unfortunately a frightening reality for my dear Iranian friend Maral. Maral lives in Shiraz, Iran. She is divorced and has an 8-year-old boy and is struggling to raise him as a single mom. We are good friends. Regularly, we meet on Skype, and I spend time teaching her English and preparations for her exams at university. Recently, as we met on Skype, I asked Maral to talk about freedom and explain to me what life was really like in Iran. Quote, "Iran is one big prison." Many of my Iranian friends have written short stories on the topic of freedom and emailed them to me. I have featured their stories on my radio program and also in my blogs. However, in this case, I was able to interview my friend on Skype and watch her facial expressions as she described her struggle for freedom in Iran. This was dramatically different than just receiving an email, and it had an incredible emotional impact on me. Maral rolled her eyes as she talked about the subject of freedom. You could see the pain and frustration in her eyes, and her whole countenance changed to despair. She explained that Iran was, quote, "one big prison." Then suddenly, her face beamed with hope as she looked me directly in the eyes and said, "I want to be free, like a bird in the sky." Government chooses everything for us, like a child. Maral is not a practicing Muslim, but just, quote, "in name only." Her biggest objection to the Iranian way of life is the government determining what you should believe. Religion is personal. The government doesn't have the right to tell you what to believe, Maral objected. I could see the bitterness and frustration in her eyes. Then she gazed into my eyes with a passionate stare. Government chooses everything for us like a child. We don't have the right to choose. Maral paused for a moment and gathered her thoughts. Then she boldly proclaimed, "Freedom is our right. It is God's gift to us." I could not agree more. Iranians understand that freedom is a gift from God that has been stolen by a corrupt and power-hungry dictatorship. Be our voice for freedom. As our brief interview drew to a close, I informed Maral that I would be having a book signing for my new publication in a few weeks and asked her what message I should give to my customers from her. A huge smile beamed across her face, and without hesitation, she immediately answered, "Tell them to please help us. We are prisoners here, be our voice for freedom. I struggled to hold back the tears. I promised Maral I would do this for her and all of her Iranian friends. I asked her to type for me what she said in Farsi and that I would make a poster of it and display it at my book signing. Loftin bi mak komak hunid, ma enja sendani hastin, loftin sidea ba bashad barari azadi. Quote, translation, please help us, prisoners here. Be our voice for freedom. Can you hear the desperate cries from Maral's heart? It is a very simple request, and yet something that you and I take way too much for granted every single day. I intend to keep my promise to Maral. She is a dear friend that I pray one day will be that bird she described, flying free in the sky. There is a promise in Scripture that God indeed hears the desperate cries of Iranians. My prayer is that He will soon answer their cries and give them the precious gift of freedom. He will rescue the poor when they cry to Him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and needy, and He will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to Him. Psalm 72, verses 12, New Living Translation. Is this what Islam has brought us? Recently, my dear friend Atifi, who lives in Tehran, shared a frustrating experience with me. It was a very hot day, and she was on her way to buy a special present for Father's Day. Sitting on the crowded bus, Atifi began to sweat profusely and wanted desperately to remove her hijab in order to be comfortable in the sweltering heat. Looking around the bus, Atifi watched the men sitting on one side of the bus, separated from her, and the other woman by a horizontal bar. Annoyed by the heat and the oppressive conditions of her culture, Atifi asked herself a very important question. Quote, is this really fair? Is this what Islam has brought us? Atifi's question is a question that must go through the minds of many women living in Iran. Is this really fair? Is this what Islam has brought us? I have a question. What has Islam done for the rights and dignity of women? When I chat with my Iranian friends online through Facebook, they tell me the horrors and humiliation that the Ghasti-Irshad, morality police, does to women. If a woman has on nail polish, she will be confronted and fined or arrested. If her sunglasses are inappropriately placed above her hijab, or if she is revealing too much skin, the Ghasti-Irshad can fine or arrest her. My friends have told me in tears that in some situations, they have witnessed the Ghasti-Irshad physically beating women for violating the Islamic dress code. What kind of society would allow its morality police to physically abuse women in public in order to inform or enforce a dress code? I have a question. In observing my culture and looking in the Bible, what has Christianity brought us? What does it do for the freedom and dignity of women? When I look through the pages of Scripture, I see Jesus showing compassion and respect to the Jewish women of His time. He traveled into Samaria, a city despised by Jews, and sat down and talked with respect to a woman who was considered an unclean outcast by her peers. On one occasion, Jesus confronted the religious leaders who were ready to stone a woman caught in adultery and declared, quote, "He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." As a result of the convicting declaration of Jesus, they dropped their stones and fled. Jesus healed a woman with an issue of blood, raised the dead brother of His dear friends Mary and Martha, and showed kindness and respect to those despised by a male-dominated culture. What has Christianity brought us? Love and forgiveness, respect and freedom. It is easy to see why so many women are attracted to the character of Jesus and are leaving their religion of oppression to find true freedom and self-worth in Jesus. Out of these questions is one of the most important questions that every person, both male and female, needs to ask as themselves living in Iran. Quote, is this what Islam has brought us? How do you answer that question? A day in the life of an Iranian woman. I remember as a young teenager watching the movie The Diary of Anne Frank. I was fascinated and intrigued by the courage of the Jewish family struggling to survive in the Nazi-occupied Netherlands. Eventually, they had to go into hiding to avoid being rounded up and shipped away to the death camps. For nearly 2 years before they were finally caught, 13-year-old Anne Frank recorded in her diary the trials, the fears, and emotions of living crammed together in a tiny attic, struggling to survive, and holding out hope that one day they would be free again. I have a precious friend named Atifi who lives under similar circumstances in Tehran, Iran. Like Anne, she faithfully records the experiences of what it's like to live under the oppression and fear of an Islamic government. Although Atifi is not forced to go into hiding like the Frank family, yet, like Anne, she longs for the day when she can walk down the streets of Tehran again without fear. The stories and experiences Atifi shared with me have greatly contributed to the writing of my book, The Rose of Nowruz, Dreams of Hope and Freedom. Recently, I asked Atifi to explain in her own words what it's like to live in Iran so that I could share her story with my customers at my upcoming book signing. I remember opening up her email at work and reading it. After I finished, I was almost speechless and in tears. What you are about to hear is unedited and exactly the way Atifi wrote it. I will not change anything or try to improve it. This is a brief description of a day in the life of a young Iranian woman. Imagine a day when you wake up and dress as normal, as you always do. You are fresh to start a day, but as you reach your university faculty, your phone rings. It's the security guard. They have been watching you talk to your male classmate, so you are called to the discipline committee to prove that you aren't involved with that boy in violation of the Islamic rules. You can never prove that, and you get something like a note in your graduation certificate stating that you had an illegitimate relationship with your classmate. Another day, as you enter the university facility, a woman wearing a chador stops you at the door and asks, quote, what's that makeup you're wearing? Again, discipline committee. Day three, your mobile rings. It's the discipline committee. Miss, why have you have a Facebook account? Why aren't you wearing a hijab in your profile picture? Again, discipline committee. Boyfriend, who are your friends? Do your friends have boyfriends? Do they have sex with their boyfriends? Do your friends stay at your boyfriend's house? Then they ask you to spy for them in the dorm and report to them anything that happens there. If you say anything against Islam or any of the political figures, your parents will never see you again. You have now graduated and are working. 8 a.m. You go out of the house, and when you reach downtown, the Ghassi Irshad morality police stops you. Again, the same questions. They take you to a police station. You sit next to men who have been arrested in the street. They take a picture of you holding a paper with your name on it, exactly like a criminal. They treat you like a prostitute, bombarding you with their words and accusation until you burst into tears. Then they call your house and ask your parents to bring a longer manteau, an Islamic chador. Then you have to sign a commitment paper which says that if they see you on the street and they don't like your appearance, you will have to appear in court, and the vicious cycle continues for the rest of your life. They even stop your car to check your appearance. These are the daily routines for Iranian girls. And when you wish to free yourself by migrating somewhere else, the sanctions and poor economic conditions won't allow you to pay the primary expenses. Then you can feel there is nothing called God or no justice. You can't even imagine the way we live here. You can't even imagine. No, you never can. This concludes part one of the live reading of my book, The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. Now, with just a couple of minutes left, I want to explain what I'm doing here. I've decided the best way to touch the hearts of my readers is to read the book. And so on the next three blog talks, we're going to have a special half an hour just set aside for a word-for-word reading of this book. And I really believe that this is the way to really help my listeners experience what it is my friends endure every day. And so I feel as though that this is a primary way for you as a listener to feel their pain, to understand their emotions, to understand their struggles. So if you'll indulge me and be patient, for the next three half-an-hour blog talks, I'm going to be reading right where I left off in The Cross in the Desert. What you can do is just listen to part one and mark the place where I left off, and I will continue reading the book. Now, for those of you who already have a copy of this book, part two will begin on page number 18, and I'll be talking about Arezou's story, We Are Not Your Enemy, Putting a Face on Real Iranians, and we will hear from her at that time. I want to say to you, thank you so much for supporting The Cross in the Desert. Thank you so much for praying and signing the petitions for my dear Iranian friends. You truly make a difference in their life, and they appreciate everything that you do. When I talk with them, the number one request they give me all the time is please pray for our freedom. In fact, the first installment of the book was Be a Voice for Our Freedom from Maral. And I talk with her often, and she describes herself like that bird in the sky. She truly, truly longs for freedom. So, as I mentioned, we're going to be doing this for the next three blog talks. And if you miss something, just go back to part one. And part two will continue with where I left off, and we will read the entire book from cover to cover. I hope this is enjoyable for you. I hope that you enjoy listening to this, and it helps you really connect with my dear Iranian friends because they're really the joy and passion of my life. I want to thank you so much for joining me today on this very special live reading. Part two will be Monday, December 8th, and we'll continue reading my book. God bless you and have a very incredible weekend.
Healing rain is coming down, it's coming nearer to this old town, to this old town. Rich and poor, weak and strong, it's bringing mercy, it won't be long. Healing rain is coming down, it's coming closer to the lost and found. Tears of joy and tears of shame are washed forever in Jesus' name. Hey.